expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Let's go, Brandon.
I said, oh, ging gong ging. Oh, ging gong gong. Yeah, the old blind baby. Hey, have you got any rubber boots?
We'll leave that one alone.
Wow. Today is March 13th, 2022. My name is Mark Kent. I'm a graduate of the University of Hard Knocks with a degree in results. And I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, a ball of endless energy, a movable object, an unstoppable force, a nature slayer of snowflakes, and she's heard more BS than a VOS meeting.
Good morning.
That wasn't bad. I should do commercials. And the kid that rocks around the clock, too late. Faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, with a 10-degree black belt and ram celebrity, Johnson!
Good morning, everybody. Now, I don't mean to brag, but I made a road trip to Reading today with these gas prices.
Wow. You made it all the way here, did you?
So are you here to stay for the whole week till next Sunday? Is that what you mean by that?
I'm going to camp out just like the rest of the people do in front. Just bring a sleeping bag.
The library of Bumper, the guardian of the magic button of silence, Bandit of Breaks. Bandit of Breaks. Bandit of Time Breaks. Time Bandit of Breaks.
These are the breaks.
There you go. And producer extraordinaire, Travis!
Yeah, all right.
All right. We rock, we rock. You know, it's been such a weird week. We've been working our butts off. We're so deep in the heart of taxes right now. It's not even funny. We don't have a life anymore. All we have is work. You know, we're blessed and cursed all at the same time. It's the deal. So we just, we probably have enough work to get to August right now. And so we've just been slamming. So I'm a little slow on the draw today and on the news cycle.
And
I know, probably till the 10th, to the, what's that, the 11th of never or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Not complaining though. I'm very fortunate.
I'm complaining. I don't want to work anymore.
Well, I don't want to work, but.
I don't want to work this hard anymore. Anyway. So,
with everything that's going on, yeah.
Yeah, how come my... There we go. My computer's working again. I don't even know where to start.
Well, maybe we should announce and remind people, like the Board of Supervisor meeting coming this Tuesday at 9 a.m.
That's about as good a place as any. There should be some changes coming down the pipe there. I did take a look at the agenda a little bit, but man, it's just been such a week.
I looked at it, and to be honest, I don't remember what it said.
I know it started with agenda. After that, it's really unclear.
You know, that was Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I looked at it, but we know there's a lot of changes coming, and everybody needs to get involved. And if you can't attend, please attend. And I think... aren't they bringing back where you can call in?
I don't know. I think so. Maybe. I don't know. But you can listen live on, you can go to the Shasta County website for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and they do have a way to plug in there so that you can actually see the meeting and hear it, which is what I'm probably going to be doing this week because I'm just slammed.
Deadline. And then I want to remind people on Thursdays, there's the Freedom Coalition that happens at 6 p.m. over there on 621 Twin View at the Hillside Church. That's every Thursday at 6 p.m. I do believe that they've locked that place in for the Thursday meetings. I could be wrong.
Is there something wrong with the chat room?
Nope. Mine's doing just fine.
Oh, it's fine over here, too.
Also, I want to let people know that there is a whistleblower tip line that you can call now. So if you have something that you want to let people know that's going on in the community or elsewhere, you can call this number. It's 530-356-5352. So you don't have to give your name or anything, and you never know.
Okay, I think I got the chat room figured out. What a, it's like, good grief, it's like 30 steps to go. Wow.
maybe it's the operator.
I got it. No, it's not the operator. This is not my first rodeo on a computer.
Hey, all I got to say is since I got a new computer, it works great.
Shut up. All right, so.
And then stay tuned because, you know, we have a lot of people running for offices. Election, the primary's coming up June 7th. So,
it doesn't seem that far
away.
Do
your homework, investigate people, get out and talk to the people that are running.
Yeah. Well, we've got a bunch of stuff coming down the pipe. We'll be doing a lot more with the candidates. We do have a candidate in today at 11. Bob Holsinger, I think, is going to be here.
He'll be here also at 11. So next hour is going to be really action-packed because we'll have the guy from Wimpkin on for a little bit, and then we'll get to Bob. And then I think Bob is also going to be on our podcast tomorrow. Did I say something wrong?
No.
Oh, it's Jason from Wimpkin,
yep.
Right?
What time is Wimpkin?
11. So I'm just going to hold Bob a little bit and go from there.
Okay. So, then I guess I'll start it off with Justin Trudeau. Made a little speech. And, I mean, you can't – this guy is like out of – I mean, he's either so out of touch with reality or he's such a narcissist or he's just freaking dealing with the devil. I mean, maybe all three, none of the above. I don't know. But – he talks about slippage in democracies, and the narcissism of this guy is so off the charts. He's talking about how corrupt Ukraine is and how, you know, the government's out of control. This is the guy who pretty much declared himself emperor a couple weeks ago, and started seizing everybody's accounts. So this is a little two-minute clip. I'm not sure if I'll play it all. Are we ready to go in there? All right. And then we'll get to Rich here. So here's Justin Trudeau. I just had to play this because it's like you can't make this crap up. Hold on. What do we got going here? We got no sound. Hold on.
Nothing. Still nothing.
Let me try this. No, I'm not sure what's going on. Plugged in.
Shall we get to Rich?
Go to Rich, and then I'll come back to this.
Good morning, Rich. What do you got?
Good morning. I guess if there's a tip line, I can't call this number anymore on Sundays, huh?
Oh, no. You can still call this number. You betcha. Oh, we'll get it out there.
Hey, I'm going to be spearheading a movement this year to take our local school boards back, and we have until August, is the filing deadline for school board members. I'm going to be hopefully late May, maybe June, likely at the Freedom Coalition. I will be putting on a seminar, and I will be giving everybody legal training, constitutional training, empowerment training, and show how the average layperson is absolutely able to get into the school boards and effect some really good change. And so we got time, and as you've probably heard on some other local news, this is happening all over the country. People they have their eyes on the school boards for obvious, right? CRT, the math, right. The mandates and everything. So
There's no CRT.
School boards back this year. Approximately 41 school boards in Shasta County, both public schools and charters. And roughly half of them are up this year. So we're looking at, we're looking at 80 to 100 people we're going to need to run for school board this year. So it's going to take some time to get some folks together. I will do the training. It will be live streamed and archived so that anybody that misses the seminar can watch it afterwards. And so we're making it happen this year, folks.
Well, I can't believe there's 41 school
board
positions.
There's about 15, 1-5 charter schools, and approximately 26 public schools So that adds up to about 40, 41.
Wow, that's crazy. So it sounds like there's positions for just about anybody to plug into in their area if they want to.
There you have it. Yep.
Well, and that's one of the big things, too, is that there is. And that's been a big portion of the problem because while we've had our eyes closed this entire time, people have been getting into those positions and going after the children. It's like this whole bill we saw this last week of the Don't Say Gay bill. That's a bunch of BS. I mean, when you go through and you look at what they're trying to do for these kids, it basically makes it to where you're not allowed to push sexuality on kids ages 4 through 7.
Is that the one DeSantis is talking about? Yeah.
And instead they try to name it all these other things.
The beautiful thing about a school board, there's no money in it. Okay, it's possible they may get a per diem here or there for travel or whatever, but there's no money to be in on a school board. You meet about once a month. So it's not that bad, 3 hours, whatever. They may have an additional meeting early summer for their budget year, but not really a whole lot of time involved at the meeting itself. It's the background research that really is going to take some time in order to make good decisions for the schools. But here's the beautiful thing about it, folks. These people in our elected offices, as we well know in the last year and a half, they're really not that very smart. They're not that smart. I'm sorry. That's just the truth.
Right.
Okay? The swamp's been here way too long that they have, all they have is yes people. Yes people in the school boards and most other elected offices. So when we contest these races, I think they're pretty much going to walk away from the school board. So I think just filing itself, you're going to get the seat in almost all of these school boards. So it's going to be a very easy win. We just have to do it.
And those are elected, correct?
Absolutely. They're elected officials. 100% autonomy because they're elected and they take an oath to the Constitution. Absolutely. So, anyways, much more to follow. We have several months to work on this. Any questions?
I think you pretty well covered it, but thanks for letting us know.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. You have a great day.
The only comment I have is there's no such thing as CRT, right? That's what they told us.
That's what they tell.
That's the most heinous thing about that whole situation is the left tries to paint it as a don't say gay bill when there's nothing in that whatsoever to say that. It actually is the parental rights bill.
Yeah.
The bill to have the parents be able to know what these teachers are trying to indoctrinate their children with. And they're
I think it's like 5 to 8 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, we should let them teach.
I think it's 4 to 7, but yeah.
Whatever. It's okay to teach them about sexual activities that should only be talked about with adults.
Mm-hmm. One, this is exactly what we've been seeing. This is what Marx's works were all about. It was basically start sexualizing the children as young as you possibly can. And this is what we see in our society all over the place.
Right.
That's why Epstein was even a thing.
Well, I'm hearing whispers in the wind about Epstein and stuff, but we'll see. There's a lot of stuff in the whispering in the wind. You got Durham whispering in the wind, and you know, gosh, it's just crazy. I do want to address Steve there a little bit. No, that whole thing on the taxes is incorrect. I've researched it at length. I've fought it at length, and they take some things and they march with it that aren't true. You know, one of the things that they say is that you're not required to file a tax return. Well, if you follow that up, what they did was they sent in a letter saying, if you don't have any income, are you required to file a tax return? And the answer would be no, because you have no income.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, they read it out of context that says that, you know, you're not required to file a tax return. But they leave out the part that, if you have no income.
And
I've been through that whole argument over and over again.
And just so people understand in the chat room, Steve was saying there is no law.
Oh, well,
required.
Siskiyou. I'm not sure. It's not Steve, it's Siskiyou.
Well, Siskiyou.
Yeah, it's evidently
all right.
It's not Steve.
Require 99% of the Americans to file and pay income tax.
Yeah.
Just so the people know what we're referring to when we're talking about what was said.
I've been in income tax law for 37 years. I've seen them all. And I wish that was true. I think that it used to be true. And they did pass 1913, the income tax law. And then there's been 5 acts of Congress since then that have affirmed it. So even if what you're saying is true, there's no requirement, the courts are going to enforce it, and you'll end up in jail like Irwin Schiff if you're not careful, saying the income tax law is not valid. Okay, but they'll put you in jail for it. So it's I wish it was true. We need to get rid of the income tax. I'm not on the side of the income tax. In fact, I would just as soon have there be no income tax law, and like it used to be, there was no direct tax on the people, but it's not true. They changed the rule along with getting in the Federal Reserve Act at the same time, and that's their mechanism for collecting for the banks, basically, through their interest and their debt-based system. So anyway, you know, that's fine. You can, you know, look at whatever you want, but, you know, I've been following this stuff from the beginning, you know, when this all started, Irwin Schiff and the untaxed movement, and, you know, a good book to read on the untaxed movement is Winning Publications. It's How to Beat the IRS by Daniel Pilla. Daniel Pilla. And he's an attorney, and he examines it, breaks it down. And, you know, you have to have some legal training if you don't understand how to read some of this stuff, because they take a lot of things out of context, and they twist some of the court cases and into thinking. And they'll cite law that from 1876. But you can't cite law from 1876 if it's been overturned. So again, I wish it was true, but I don't think it is. Now, let's see. Go ahead.
On that note, he's actually pulling some of his information from Joe Bannister.
Yeah, I know all about Joe Bannister.
So you know where he's pulling some of that. Yeah. And if you read further, I was just glancing at the article real quick. You have to go further down, and it's not telling you that not to comply, but.
Well,
anyway,
Joe Bannister, ex-IRS agent, I think he's out of Colorado. Yeah, we've examined all this stuff. It doesn't hold water.
I just wanted to people let, or Siskiyou know, you know, where the information was getting pulled from.
The only reason I say that is that what I've seen over and over and over again throughout the years, people follow these strategies and they end up with a huge mess that has to be unwound, because what happens is that they can actually criminally charge you. There's three things in the tax code that you can actually be criminally charged for: willful failure to file, willful failure to defeat or evade the tax, the other is willful failure to pay. So there's willful failure to file, willful failure to pay, and a willful attempt to evade or defeat the tax. And they can actually put you in jail if you don't file a return if you have income. Now, that doesn't mean they'll do it, but all I'm saying is that what happens is they let you build up a non-filing thing for about 20 years, and then all of a sudden they hit you with a $300,000 or $400,000 bill, and then, you know, and the guys that told you this stuff told you it 10 years ago, and they're completely off the charts after you paid them $3,000 or $4,000, and they're gone. They've got their money, and now you're sitting there holding the bag with a big, huge tax mess. And I've seen this up close and personal with several people. So, you know, my brother is a tax attorney. He's my brother. I don't mind you. Our brother is a tax attorney. I got him into the business. I've been doing this 5 years longer than he has. We've researched this up and down, forwards, backwards, and sideways, and you don't have an argument that you can put in a court of law that they'll uphold. So that's the problem. Anyway, with that said, do we have volume on our Justin Trudeau narcissism here? Here we go. No, we don't. How come we don't?
It clicked, but I don't hear anything.
I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, ow!
It's not working.
Maybe it's your connection.
I checked both ends of the connection.
Because I can hear clicking.
Let's try it on another
it's
medium.
It's not all the way plugged in there for whatever reason. There's something going on with it. I don't know.
It seemed like it was.
That wasn't all the way down.
How's that? Let's try it one more time and see if what we got is going to work. No, not going to work. Let me try it on Rumble and see if Rumble's working. No, we don't have a connection. I'm not sure why. So I guess
maybe
we could check at the break.
Yeah, we'll check at the break because the videos are playing, and but they're not. There's no sound, so I'm not sure what's going on. So I guess what I'll do is talk about the Dr. Malone, and this was a clip from him on the War Room with Bannon, and he's saying that 9 out of 10 people are dying after these records were released. 9 out of 10 people that have died from the COVID were vaccinated and had up to three of the vaccinations. And this is all in the report, I guess, coming out of England. Then we got all that, those paperwork were released, from the, FDA or Pfizer, I'm sorry, at the, cause the judge ordered the release of them. I guess they've released like 10,000 out of 400,000 pages, so they're going to start releasing them every month, 70,000, 80,000, and so they're delaying the release, and they wouldn't even have done it if the judge hadn't ordered this. And we're finding out this thing is so much worse than that we were led to believe. It's incredibly scary, you know, because people have been misled about this whole thing from A to Z. So I don't know how ugly this gets, but I'll tell you what, it's, you know, the fact that they were trying to, hold these records for 75 years.
Well,
why?
It's been pretty interesting watching this transpire and following the data and seeing what now is coming out. So Glenn Beck this week, just a couple of days ago, had Dr. Robert Malone, who was on, for a two-hour segment. And what's interesting is through following the data and following and seeing these things firsthand while they're happening, you can actually keep up even through all of the BS and all the rest of this. My wife and I, we were sitting in the truck and we're like, wow, don't we already know most of this? And it's like, yeah, we do, but it's because we've been following it and not listening to these mainstream narratives. And it's interesting to watch even Robert Malone has had to change his opinion on some things that he was being very cautious on. Such as, could the virus and the vaccine actually end up shedding and have the shedding of the spike protein go to another person? And in that interview, he said, yeah, he's had to reconsider, and yeah, it could through bodily fluids and otherwise. And the other thing that we're seeing on this, too, is that this spike protein, they thought it was just going to go into the body and then go out of the body, and it wasn't going to be there for a very long time, but it was going to do its job. Well, that's not actually the case either. We're actually seeing that the body is actually creating this spike protein afterwards, and it's becoming a very long-term thing, so much so we don't even know how long it stays in the body or if it goes away. So that's actually an interview that I would encourage people to watch, because that's one of the few places you're going to get information from a guy who literally invented the mRNA technology. He's the guy who came up with the idea. But yet we want to just go ahead and say, no, we're not going to listen to him. We're going to listen to the veterinary clinic. I mean, basically, y'all know that the CEO of Pfizer is a vet. I just find that funny.
I don't know if I find it funny. Very disturbing, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy days indeed. I mean, it's like everything has just gone off the charts. We're starting to see inflation. I think we're going to see inflation track up hardcore here. You're looking at the numbers at 7.9. You know, it's more like 20% on some of these things. Batten down the hatches. If you're not prepping a little bit here, I think you are living in la-la land. So I don't know. I mean, things are just really super crazy right now.
It's all Russians' fault. That's all.
It's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the thing I wanted to play with Trudeau is basically here's a guy who shuts down his own country, gets rid of democracy, starts lifting everybody's bank accounts, and he goes, look at those corrupt guys in Ukraine.
Well, and this is one of those things. So they said that Joe Rogan is on horse dewormer. That's one of the things that we heard all the time. I just want to read this right here. Pfizer CEO and veterinarian Dr. Albert Bouler was the speaker at the 136th annual opening ceremony for University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine, practically held on May 18th, and Dr. Andrew Hoffman, dean of the Penn Vet, noticed that his opening remarks at the core technology and development of Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines was developed by two UN Penn students. How great is that? We're listening to a guy that's a vet.
Wow. You know, I mean, and then we should talk a little bit about the biological labs in Ukraine that I guess
they skipped over, that they forgot to let people know.
It's no U.S. biological labs in Ukraine. Fact check. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there might have been labs in Ukraine, but they're not U.S. labs.
Well, they're
spoiler alert.
Actually, they're
yes, they are.
U.S. labs in Ukraine.
Yeah. I'm saying, spoiler alert.
No, there are Ukrainian labs in Ukraine funded by U.S. money, but there's no U.S. labs in Ukraine.
It's kind of like this all came from a bat.
And did you guys see that lead-up question to where they lined it up, and he's like, oh, so if there's any biological attacks whatsoever that happen now over in that area, it's definitely going to be Russia, right? And she was like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's definitely going to be Russia because you always blame the other side for what you're going to do. Well, you just did that. You just literally did that on that call.
Well, we're gonna have to go to a break, but I'm just saying it doesn't appear, you know, you got to look between the lines because what you see in the mainstream media may not be what exactly going on.
There's more coming out. I do have 10 things we can cover on the Pfizer document released after the break.
All right. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
People who have purpose and meaning in their life, they believe in one important thing deeply. I am here for a reason. Listen to me. I didn't say I am here for a season. I said I am here for a reason.
I'm here for a reason.
Cause I had doubts in my mind keeping me back. I was blind and I really couldn't see that. I'm important and I feel that. I'm not worried about the challenges in front of me. I will never let the doubt get the best of me. I can work my way up out of anything. All the blocks are just building a better me. Better be better than yesterday is the recipe. I'ma let the negativity rest in peace. I'm here to do bigger things, yeah, better me. And that's building a lead.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best-tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I try when I look back, but I still just feel numb. And I see in my shadow the man I've become. All the times that I've gone down the wrong roads in life, the wrong turns I've taken, the only ones I get right. I ain't one for folding the hand I've been dealt. All the games I've been playing,
but I forgot how it felt to have the wind in my back and the sun on my face. The storm clouds behind me and I'm still in the race. I got my windows rolled down and the rain pouring in. Forgot what it's like to feel good in my skin. Cause I'd give everything to feel anything again.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Oh, that's good stuff there,
yeah,
you know.
I think that's some good stuff.
Yep. Boy, I'm just brain dead today.
Isn't that Aaron Lewis?
Thank you.
That's a good song.
That's a great song.
Honestly, there's a big portion of that that has to do with the time change. And it really doesn't matter which direction it goes for, but all the studies have actually shown that it's bad for your heart when you end up changing the time.
Well, I got up at was supposed to be 5, but it's actually 4. <You know? laughs> So...
I think it was five and six.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I was all screwed up.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. Haven't you guys ever noticed, like, when you sleep in and you're not used to sleeping in, the whole day you're just drowsy and it feels like the whole day is just gone? That's kind of the way it goes with these things. Like, me and my wife, we stayed up way too late last night, and then when we were waking up this morning, it was like, I almost called into you guys. I was going, COVID, sorry.
I went to bed like 8:30.
That's what I normally go to bed because I'm up at 4. But
exactly. So, okay, let's play this Justin Trudeau thing real quick, and then we'll get to Lori.
I think we got it figured out.
So here we go.
We've come to a moment that, quite frankly, we've seen coming over the past years. We see a bit of a slippage in our democracies.
A slippage? What the hell does that even mean? Justin Trudeau.
Young world shaper.
I guess if you're Joe Biden, slippage, you can understand.
Yeah, the slippage has emboldened Vladimir Putin, he's saying. He thinks he could invade the Ukraine with minimal pushback. So the slippage that's occurring is democracy slipping. And I got the wrong clip, so it's not giving me the speech. It's giving it the track. So let's go to Lori.
Let's go to Lori. Good morning, Lori.
As if I'm going to help you, Mark.
I know. I'm already so deep now, I might as well just bury the top of me.
That's so funny. Slippage reminds me of, like, leakage, as in vaccine leakage, all these made-up terms. Oh, my goodness.
I know. How do you have a slippage in democracy? From a guy who just declared himself emperor, you know? Good grief.
I think because they're stepping in it. They're just...
It's not working anymore, I think.
There's no more traction. Hey, I'm just calling in to give a very quick field report from Friday, another mass vaccination clinic. It was held at the Sikh Center, first time over there in Anderson. There's about 18 different sponsors as I look at the flyer. Very low turnout, folks. When I was there with Robert Exter, he's helping us as South Dakota County citizen journalists doing film footage and whatnot, approximately 7 adults were there by about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and maybe... according to the community organizer, Amarjeet Singh, 6 children. So I don't know if they had a mass influx in the last hour and a half, but I think people have made up their mind, as we've talked about before. They had the usual gift certificates. I think it was $25 I wrote down from Safeway. They still hand out those iHealth home rapid test kits, whatever.
Lottery tickets.
Bribery, yep. So I will be surprised if they still push another mass vaccination clinic because no one wants this crap. If you look at the graphene oxide and some of the things I put in the chat room earlier today, even parasites now are coming out.
Laurie, I think they were given tickets to have dinner with Gavin Newsom at the French Laundry as well.
Okay. This is where we're at? And I'll tell you this in closing. There are a couple radio stations sponsoring these vaccination clinics. One is KCNR, this very station that we're listening to you on, KKRN, we have the Shasta Interfaith, City of Reading, United Way, Shasta Lake Chiropractor. Yeah, she's had many, many clinics up here in Shasta County. So it's just getting old, and the more and more that is being revealed, the whistleblowers, I hope at our Board of Supervisors we still have Dr. Kathy Reschke, the ER doctor who blew the whistle about a month ago on deleting and fixing and altering and messing with the records, which is criminal, and all the rest. So thank you for sharing the whistleblower line from Red, White, and Blueprint. Obviously, we have our line as well. I put it in the chat room. And, yeah, we took about an hour's worth of video. We're going to condense it, edit, and watch for that soon. We're done, folks. And they had that white flag thing, one death per COVID, shaped in a heart. Where is the COVID death from the vaccine, people?
Hey, I want to talk about this Pfizer documents. I've got a 10-point talking talking thing.
Talking points.
Yeah, the documents. And the Pfizer, you know, number one, Pfizer claimed repeatedly in their documents to the FDA that the Pfizer, that the vaccine would prevent COVID-19.
Wrong.
So
I'll tell you what. I hope this comes out in our video. In closing, is this community organizer said that when he took the Moderna inoculation, it made his foot pain go away. I'm like, well, wow. I am so going to put that on because
we no longer
have a public information officer. We no longer have Carrie Schutte, the paid person from public health who is supposed to be at these clinics, or it was in the very, very beginning of the rollouts. And then they all fade away. They shove it under the bus and let these churches take care of it or these chiropractic clinics take care of it and all the rest so they just can eat.
I wonder if I get injected in my knee if it'll stop my knee from hurting.
may not have to worry about it. You lose the leg, no more pain. I mean, it's all good.
I was teasing with the guy on Friday. I said, hey, has anyone asked as an adult, can they have the child's dosage? like, it's not even going to matter. So anyway, I want to hear your Pfizer update.
All right, here we go. All right, thanks for the report, Lori.
Can you post that phone number for you? Because I don't see it in the chat room.
I'll do it right now.
Very good. All right, number two. Pfizer knew the injection's adverse effects would increase with more injections of continuing boosters. This is all coming out in these documents. Think about what I just said. They knew. Pfizer knew their injections did not stay at the injection site. This is number four. Pfizer knew that the vaccinated group reported far more systemic adverse events than the placebo group. Number five, Pfizer knew that the efficacy of the vaccine waned very quickly over time, as much as 50% in as little as a month after the second dose. How come we weren't warned about that? Number six, Pfizer defended VAERS because they didn't want the extra reporting cost burdens.
They didn't want to be exposed?
Yeah, I mean, the more you read this, it's just like, are you freaking kidding me? There are six individuals that signed up. This is number seven. There are six individuals that signed up under two different clinical trials at two different sites, which is really odd. Let me read that again. There are six individuals that signed up for two different clinical trials at two different sites. So, in other words, the same guys keep signing up for the same clinical trials in different places?
Oh, different clinical trials.
Is
about the same thing.
Well, that's weird.
Are they getting shot every time?
I don't know.
Are those guys we see out on the corner?
Number eight, Pfizer knew vaccinated individuals would still catch COVID-19 and test positive. I mean, that's a big deal right there. They freaking knew. I mean,
I'm not surprised
either, but now that we've got it in their own documents, saying that this stuff, it's like, gee, no wonder they've only released 10,000 pages. There's like, you know, 380,000 more to get to, and look what's in this treasure trove of crap information already.
Oh, shut up, Mark. We've moved past COVID now. It's about Ukraine.
Well, not just that, but we have future pandemics, you know, and you know, we have to be able to take care of you in the future. Don't you understand that?
Okay, and I spoke at the Board of Supervisors meeting a week or so ago, whatever it was, about the Pfizer and the vaccines and all this stuff. And I made one mistake, and I caught it later on. I said that Pfizer was paying the CDC, and I want to correct that on the air. They've been paying the FDA. Okay, I'm not sure if they're still paying or have paid the CDC, but we know they've been paying the FDA. Here's Pfizer paid $2,875,842,000, whatever it is. Or it's 2 million. That's 2 million. I'm sorry. I got too many billions and millions. It's 2,800,000 for their application. This is for their application, okay, to the FDA. So they paid them $2 million to apply for this so that they could get approved for emergency authorization. Hey, that's a pretty, hey, it's, you know, it's.
It'd make anything be anything for 2 minutes.
How would you like to apply for a building permit or something from them?
No, that's the EPA.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We saw a bird, therefore you will pay us $300,000 to use
your
property.
Don't give them any ideas. They could be switching.
Maybe it's the wrong FDA. Maybe it's
maybe,
the
maybe
it's the Float Device Administration.
Maybe it's the florist.
Yeah, it could be flowers.
Yeah, it could be flowers. Anyway.
So, number 11, is troubling that Pfizer redacts information that is not proprietary, that it would be very helpful in assessing the data, such as the number of doses administered in the adverse events of special interest. So they just redacted a few things like, oh, how many doses did they give out, and what are the real numbers?
How many people are dying?
Well,
is that
like
redacted?
That video that we ended up watching last week, how the woman talked about how her daughter was taken off. And she didn't go to get off of it. They just said, yep, we're removing you from it. Oh, and we're also removing your access to the application to talk about any of the side effects you had. And now her daughter's paralyzed from the legs down and has all kinds of pain and stomach bleeding and stuff like that. But
there's
nothing to see there.
Unbelievable. Number 12, we got two more. Pfizer only tests you for COVID if you have at least one symptom. If the vaccine suppresses symptoms, which apparently it does, then it will falsely appear as if the vaccine reduces the number of COVID cases.
Wow. Wow. Stop and think
about
that.
I mean, you almost think,
just,
I know.
That's red. When you stop at that. So it makes sense why the numbers are what they are when you read that and see what they've been doing.
That couldn't, oh. that couldn't have been planned or anything.
No.
Number 13. No. I'm not sure I can say this word. Anaphylaxis.
Good job.
Thank you. How could anaphylaxis not show up in the phase 3 trial on any of the 44,000 patients, yet show up as a major safety concern in the post-marketing document?
Well, because if you don't put it in there, what the hell? Nobody needs to know that.
Nobody knows anything. How did you do that control thing? What was it?
Control-Shift-T.
Control shift. What is shift at? I don't even know.
You know that. You know that. Got it. On
thank
the left, Jeff.
I got
can
it.
Lead a horse to water.
Okay, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Linda.
What can we do for you?
All about this Pfizer vaccine. This was on Don Bongino's show last week.
Yeah, Dan Bongino.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a study done in Sweden by Dr. Peter McCullough.
Yep.
Yep.
Stating that portions of the vaccine will transfer into your liver cells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the process of how the liver works, it can be transferred into other cells of your organ.
Right.
I think Bongino was freaked out about this because he's had the vaccine,
yep.
And there's long-term effects of this is what they're saying.
Right. And I looked up the study, and it's so complicated, I don't understand it. I'm not a medical person, but it is something that's interesting to read on what this vaccine may do down the road to everybody. That
this could be their eugenics program that they've talked about for years, the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, we know that that Bill Gates is a eugenicist and you know, quite frankly, sort of a little bit like Dr. Evil in a nut job.
And to the liver question, you know, that's the problem with poisons or anything. It always attacks the liver. So you have to learn how to get it out of the liver.
How to cleanse your liver.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you always support the liver when it comes to poison. So that tells you how poisonous this is to the body if it's attacking the liver.
I've heard that ivermectin actually supports pulling that stuff out.
Here's the thing on it, and I would encourage everybody to listen to episode 137, The Doctor Who Nearly Got Joe Rogan Canceled, Dr. Robert Malone. This was yesterday on Glenn Beck's program. He had him on for over 2 hours, and he actually goes in and discusses these things in details. From my understanding of what he was saying is not only does it go to your liver, but it actually ends up targeting your mRNA and creates a super DNA that your body will then produce the spike protein in your liver and in other portions of your organs even after it is supposed to gone out of your system. They originally
said
exactly it was only going to...
That's exactly what this study says. It says that the transfer RNA that they put in your will transfer into your DNA within 6 hours.
Yep.
Wow.
And then from that point, your body actually continues creating this spike protein, which is not normal and native to the human body and has actually been shown to cause some issues in a lot of these studies and tests. It's the things that are causing people to have organ failure. It's the things that are causing heart attack and myocarditis.
And a bunch of other stuff,
yeah.
too. But let's,
when you start messing with DNA.
We got just a few minutes to the top of the hour. I want to get to this other clip, and I want to get to the JP clip. So if you got anything else for us?
No, I can send you this study if you'd like, if you give me your website.
Well, we don't have a website.
We really don't have a website at this point. So maybe you can send it to my email at kentmark, K-E-N-T-M-A-R-K, at msn.com.
I'll do that.
Thank you. I appreciate
right,
it, Chris.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
You too.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right. So let's get to Dr. Malone. This one's a minute and a half, and then I want to get to J.P. Sears when it's a couple minutes before the end of the before the top of the hour. So here we go. This is Dr. Malone talking about 9 out of 10 people. This is from the War Room Bannon's website.
Although crude and not adjusted, clearly demonstrate the lack of effectiveness of the vaccine in these pediatric groups, particularly in the young cohort. This is probably a large part of why the CDC has been deleting data and spinning data, is because the data aren't supporting efficacy against or effectiveness against Omicron. Now, another article that's dropped, or really a summary of data from Great Britain from the National Health Service, again demonstrates 9 out of 10 people dying of COVID have been vaccinated, and 4 out of 5 dying have been triple jabbed. So we've got multiple lines of evidence that, you remember the fallback position has been, well, these vaccines protect against severe disease and death, so at least there's that, even though they don't protect against infection, replication, or spread. But now that little domino is falling. So
are you comfortable with that UK data as you've seen it? I know people have sent it to me and others. Are you, you're comfortable with that?
I am. And this is, you know, the UK is increasingly acknowledging, like in Scotland, that they've been twiddling the dials a little bit, just like the CDC has. And so that analysis, I think, did a good job of pulling out that the artifacts that the UK government was creating in their data analysis and presentation. But on Getter, I've provided direct access to the UK report, and people can look at the data themselves and make their own decision. I'm sure this will be argued about over the next week.
So
the underlying data, although crude.
There we go. So here's the other one. And for those adverse reactions, the top 10 things, that was posted on the Need to Know News website with Geover Griffin. And I think the actual article, let me follow that up here, comes from Steve Kirsch's newsletter. And this is on March 8th, Steve Kirsch's newsletter, Key Takeaways from the that's where it's coming from. So if you want to look it up, that's fine. Go to Need to Know News with by Geover Griffin.
And before we queue up that other one, I just want to go through and kind of give a little bit of background and give some of what I've been seeing that I'm excited about, and if better late than never. But you guys listening to the program, you guys have been informed and known about the Great Reset and a lot of the things that have been going on with that, with the World Economic Forum, for the last year and a half. Now, the exciting thing is in these last 2 weeks, we've been seeing the Great Reset popping up everywhere. We've been seeing people discussing it. We've been seeing even the next level of it, the world shapers, and how much they have infiltrated our government through getting young people each February and getting them in. We're going to be doing a segment on that. I have gotten some information over to Mark Kent on that as well. But this was one of the things from JP, just to let you guys know the mindset behind the world shapers and behind the World Economic Forum.
Here's another thing to add to that, which is kind of troubling, is that Ivanka Trump is now a member of young global leaders put out by the World Economic Forum. Which
and
is,
she so actually she could, has been from that time before, and she's been used in their materials beforehand. So,
so it makes you wonder what's going on. Now, she could be an infiltrator finding out what they're doing, but it also makes you wonder. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there because I think it's a it's something that should be not discounted.
Well, and the reason why I say I don't think so is you look at a lot of the mistakes that Trump made. He made them at her request. So the
maybe
Syria bombings, the things that took
yeah,
place on
know.
That. And she seems to be somebody who is more in line with them on this. But go ahead, play away.
All right, so here we go. This is J.P. Sears. This is about the Great Reset.
My favorite Economic Forum speaker of all time is this reptile, Klaus Schwab's top advisor, Dr. Yuval Noah Harari. Let's see what he has to say.
Data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may get
and
the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it.
Elite hacking organisms and re-engineering life itself? Well, he's not talking about doing that to people, is he?
Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough, and nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people.
Well, I guess he was talking about doing that to people. All people, to be specific.
And if indeed we succeed in hacking and engineering life, this will be not just the greatest revolution in the history of humanity. This will be the greatest revolution in biology since the very beginning of life 4 billion years ago. For 4 billion years, nothing fundamental changed.
Not playing God, are you? Because that usually works out super well.
Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some God above the clouds.
Oh, you are playing God. Say more.
But our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution.
Gosh, you wouldn't by chance have a plan in place on how to control people with your cloud technology, would you? And that plan isn't by chance already being implemented, is it?
Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale.
Oh, so you could implement it.
In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste.
People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over.
Free will, that's over.
My
yeah,
that's scary.
Dr. Mangala of the Matrix.
Watching Travis in here, like, seriously, he just looks like he's about to lose it. Like, he's not going to say that out loud. Oh, he did say that out loud. Like, he, why are you saying the quiet part out loud?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Can we go home now?
Wow. I mean, what do you say? Left. What do you say that? I mean, I watched this earlier in the week, too, and, you know, what do you say about a guy like this?
Don't worry, guys. It's just a conspiracy theory. It's just a conspiracy theory with all of the global leaders, all of the global businesses. It's a conspiracy theory. Go back to sleep.
No,
we could use a Bond right now.
We could use James. Well, James, I watched James Bond
yesterday. No, I didn't mean that. I meant to this whole
I watched
thing.
James Bond yesterday. They killed him. He died in the last movie.
Spoiler alert. Hello.
Oh, sorry. You haven't seen that?
Well, who was playing James Bond?
Daniel Craig.
Oh.
I was like almost aghast at the end of the movie. I was like, No, you can't kill James Bond.
They just didn't know how to end it, so they just killed him off. They can't write movies anymore.
I'm thinking he's coming back to life.
Mr. Bean was my favorite 007.
Right?
Who?
Mr. Bean.
Who's Mr. Bean? I don't think that was 007. I think that was Double Lot Buck.
All right. With that, we do have to go to a break for the top of the hour, but join us for the next portion of the show.
Yeah, because we're going to have a lot going on. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Local officials in western Ukraine say a Russian airstrike on a military training base that used to host NATO drills killed at least 35 people today and wounded 134. A senior Russian diplomat had warned a day earlier Moscow considers foreign shipments of military equipment to Ukraine legitimate targets. Fighting also has been raging in multiple areas of the country. Russian airstrikes on a monastery and a children's resort in eastern Donetsk hit spots where monks and refugees were sheltering, wounding 32. Former President Trump held another campaign-style rally in South Carolina last night. Says voters must elect an overwhelming number of Republicans in November.
If you want safety, security, and strength, vote for America First Republicans this November. But before we can defeat the Democrats, socialists, and communists at the ballot box this fall, we first have to defeat the rhinos and grandstanders in the primaries earlier this year.
Several congressional Democrats are raising doubts about a proposed airline merger.
Well, the lawmakers claim the proposed merger of Frontier and Spirit would reduce competition among budget airlines and lead to higher airfares. They want the Biden administration to examine the deal closely and then consider blocking it on antitrust grounds. The Justice and the Transportation Departments say they have received the lawmakers' message but have declined any further comment. Jason Walker reporting.
Yes, prices are going up, 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 and Uber is now going to be charging customers a fuel fee to help offset costs for ride hail and delivery drivers. The company says the temporary surcharge will be anywhere from 45 to 55 cents. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What if I told you your home movies are already past their prime? It's true. The magnetic tape used in VHS and camcorder tapes only lasts between 10 to 20 years, which means your baby's first steps, weddings, and family vacations are fading away as we speak. Digitizing your old media with Legacy Box stops this fading process in its tracks. And by preserving your recordings, they're safe forever. Legacy Box is simply the best way to preserve your past, which is why they've been trusted by over 1 million families. Your memories are meant to be shared, not chewed up by the VCR or worn away with time. For a limited time, you can convert your tapes to digital for just $9 a tape. There's never been a better time to convert your entire collection. That includes film reels and photos, too. Visit LegacyBox.com/LBox to get our $9 sale. That's LegacyBox.com/LBox to unlock our $9 offer. LegacyBox.com/LBox.
New York City's crime wave continues.
This time, at least two women were reportedly stabbed inside the city's Museum of Modern Art. The attack happened on the first floor of the building around 4 Saturday afternoon. Witnesses say they saw two people being carried out on stretchers, and officials on the scene say it appears the wounds were non-life-threatening. Police arrived on the scene and secured the building, closed off an area outside as they expanded their search for the attacker. Ron DeRockster reporting.
The Greek prime minister met with his Turkish counterpart today in a rare meeting between the neighbors who have been at odds over maritime and energy issues, the status of Aegean islands, and migration. The prime minister and the president discussed bilateral and international relations as well as the effects of the Russian-Ukraine war. Greece and Turkey are nominal NATO allies but have strained relations over competing maritime boundary claims that affect energy exploration rights. News and analysis at townhall.com. March Madness just around the corner. College basketball tournaments wrapping up in anticipation, and Virginia captured the ACC title yesterday by beating Duke.
Virginia Tech spoiled Mike Krzyzewski's last ACC tournament by upsetting Duke 82-67 in the final. Tournament MVP Hunter Couture scored 31 points, hitting 7 of 9 three-point attempts to lead the Hokies to their fourth win in four nights and their first ever ACC title. Keve Alume added 19 points and 10 rebounds for Virginia Tech, which went on an 8-0 run with 6 minutes to go in the first half to take a lead it never relinquished and guarantee a spot in the NCAA tournament. Paolo Banchero led Duke with 20 points. Tom Merriam, New York.
Today is Sunday, March the 13th. It's the 72nd day of 2022. Most of the country is back on daylight saving time today, by the way. On this date in history, 1781, the seventh planet in the solar system, Uranus, discovered by Sir William Herschel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Talking heads on TV, they're selling their lies. Saying their way is better for living my life. And I'm fed up with them set up all high on that hill. They never gave a damn about a common man. Hell, they never will. So you can say what you want to about the things I hold true and the fabric that makes up this red, white, and blue. 'Cause I'll fight for my country till the day that I'm done. And I still got my God, and I still got my gun.
Yeah, that was the part I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I wrote down the wrong time on my sheet. Sorry.
I'll tell you what, I was watching Travis back in there. I just saw the cowboy boots just start morphing onto his feet. The jeans, the Wrangler jeans, just started coming up. The cowboy hat and the six-shooter there, and then he just his hair.
Okay.
Yeah, have a toothpick in his mouth and say something. There's a new sheriff from town there, boy.
But hold it. You have sunglasses on now that we went to the break.
He looks like the Matrix guy.
Yeah, I mean, whoa, okay.
I am a hackable animal.
Yeah.
I don't like how you guys talk about me.
Hackable.
Good. Oh, boy.
Give me all your money, everybody. Hackable.
I wish it was the Matrix. Just find me a phone booth. Now, this is what happened, you guys. We are actually in the Matrix, and they removed all the phone booths so we can't get out. Well, plot twist.
You know, with my name being
Kent. You need
Kent,
a transporter.
You know, with my name,
Statham?
With not, my name being Mark Kent, you know, very close to Clark. You know, the phone booth thing really strikes home with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
What's a phone booth?
When Polly's in trouble, I am not slow. It's hip, 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 and away I go.
No. That's more like
you guys don't remember Underdog. That's right. That was Underdog. You got that right.
Underdog, yeah.
Of course I got that right. Underdog.
Here he comes to save the day.
Can we just appreciate that all the phone booths, pretty much, except for the ones that were in that, were all just glass and see-through? That wouldn't actually like that. That was always kind of a glaring thing for you.
Okay, you can shut up now, and let's get to our guest.
Yeah, get
fine. Whatever.
Get out of the phone booth.
He's still in the phone booth.
Still in the phone
away
booth.
From the phone booth.
I want out of the Matrix, y'all.
Wow, 10 minutes in.
That's kind of why I'm trying to move it along.
I'm telling you, a transporter you need.
All right. We have a guest with us in the studio, a special guest, Bob Holsinger, who is running against Kathy Darling for the position of register of voters?
County clerk.
Clerk's office.
Oh, I guess that's the name of the office.
That has a responsibility for our elections department.
Right. Oh, so county clerk?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I didn't know she was in charge of the voting. Where have I been?
Where have you been?
I don't know.
He got to wake up. He got stuck in the phone booth.
Travis, can we get that song, Where Is My Mind, playing?
All right. Well, first of all, I have a question for you, Bob, and I don't know if you know the answer or not. If you're running and Kathy Darling's running, how does that work in an election when she's in charge of the elections? I'm just asking.
That seems like a real problem to me when she's managing the election.
Wow. I never thought about that little conflict of interest thing going on there.
Sounds like it.
I've counted the votes and I win again.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with the machines or anything. They did their job.
What machines? We don't need those stinking machines.
Wow. The same machines we got for the next 5 years, allegedly.
Well, we'll see about that. Can we cancel that contract? I think you can.
I've read the contract, I think it is possible.
Yeah.
Very possible.
I'm thinking we're going to have to do that.
And there are better options, I believe, that's approved by the state of California already. So
I think that anything's better option.
Hand count's much better option. A little bit longer,
but
it will work.
Especially in our county. We're not counting 10 million votes.
Well, not only that, it makes you wonder when Modi jumped all over re-upping that contract, just saying.
Well, and I'm sorry, if you have to have proprietary technology being able to count the votes and you can't let people see that process and it's not open source, it kind of seems like a conflict of interest to use you. Like, if your system can't be open source and you can't see how things are processed and how things are done, isn't that a problem? Is anybody going to ask that question?
I don't know.
I will.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear
that. The challenge we're probably going to find is of the there's 10 systems approved. One of them is our friends that we have.
Dominion
voting machines. The other one is a custom-made program for L.A. County, which I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. The other eight are very questionable. However, one of them is made in Texas, and Texas uses it. Florida uses it. Oklahoma uses it. Wisconsin uses it.
Where's Dominion made?
I have no idea.
I'm just curious.
I thought it was over in Germany.
That was my point to the question.
Yeah.
I'd like to find that out, because if it's made in like Shanghai or Beijing, I would be a little suspect, North Korea.
Right.
So we don't even know where it's made.
Russia?
We
can dig into that. We can dig into that. Could be something to talk
about. Okay, the company's headquarters are in Toronto, Ontario, and Denver, Colorado. It develops software in the offices of the United States, Canada, and Serbia.
Wonderful.
That's interesting.
Oh, I was wrong.
Of course they have fair elections in Canada, right? And Trudeau gets elected every time.
Are we going
to
mention Canada before Serbia?
And Serbia?
Wow. Travis got it.
Seriously, though. Seriously, from what just happened in the recall, and watching and observing what happened. What's your take on that, Bob? What do you think did that have an effect on the election?
I think the election itself had a huge effect. We had more volunteers that we trained and put in the field, and it was really comforting to see citizen volunteers at the polls when you visited. They're already there observing, which was amazing to see. And then we also had a lot of folks that are interested in ballot processing at the registrar's office, which they should be.
Right.
Do you think it had a direct effect on the election, the fact that they
were
out there?
I do, because you only get what you see. And President Reagan said, trust but verify. You trust in your election process. If you verify it, you can validate your trust or not.
One of the things I heard was that they sealed the doors where the ballots were being held, and then I guess they sealed the registrar's office as well. I don't know. Maybe you can enlighten me. I wasn't there.
Well, I thought it was that they weren't going to put a seal around the door and stuff, and then between the citizens and everything, they put up such a
thing about it
that they went ahead and sealed the door.
So all your mail-in ballots come through the back door, and they're all processed. It takes 8 to 10 people to process them, and ultimately they end up in what they call a tabulation room, or the nickname is the Batcave. And the Batcave has tabulators in there. There are Canon scanners, optical scanners. They take the front and back picture of every ballot, scan it, and enter it into a database and count it. And there's a wire rack in there that roll around with ballots on it, and sometimes in a general election, shoot, there were probably three wire racks or five shelves tall that were just stacked with ballots in there. And the door's locked. It's got a key code on it. I got it. But some observer, a very knowledgeable observer, said, hey, you know what? We need to put these tamper-resistant tapes on there to make sure that when the door's closed at night and sealed, it is not broken in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Makes full sense to me, right?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't want to do that. They did not want to do that. They got very belligerent with it. They fought about it. You know, we have a car key access, and we'll know exactly who got in, what time, et cetera.
Yeah, we've heard about that car key thing.
Yeah, key gate.
Yeah. So why would you do that? So finally they ended up at the 11th hour, just say okay, and they put the seals on the door. And from thenceforth they sealed the tabulation room of the Batcave at night. And that's what should happen. And they also have an open poll up there as well in the conference room. And that has a Dominion voting machine in it that's there for 29 days.
Now, can you, in theory, match every ballot up to every voter, even with the machines?
There's no way. Once I separate the ballot from the envelope, it's just like every other ballot out there. There's no way to tell it whose ballot.
So that's why the mail-in ballot thing is so important, because before you separate that envelope from the ballot, you could virtually trace everything back from there, and you'd have the right numbers if you did it in theory?
When the envelope comes in, the way the vote-by-mail ballot system's set up is there's a signature on the back of the envelope with a date, allegedly. Sometimes there are. Sometimes they forget to sign. And then that becomes a problem, because then they've got to be sent a letter to say, hey, you forgot your signature. I need you to sign this form and return it so I can process your ballot.
At what point does the ballot get separated from the envelope?
After the ballot envelope is inspected, it's run through a sorter. The sorter sorts it by precincts, and it also takes a digital picture of the front and back of the envelope, and the back of the envelope has the signature on it, so it scans that signature, and then that's verified for signature verification.
So you could count the ballots and count the envelopes, and in theory, they should equal each other?
In theory, they should equal each other, and they better. Yeah, or there's a problem.
Okay. Well, you know, have you seen the 2000 Mules trailer yet?
No, I have not.
Yeah, you need to watch that because Dinesh D'Souza's got
a documentary coming out
about the election thing. Yeah. And it shows them out there, you know, at different precincts, you know, making rounds and dropping off ballots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
Like 54 different locations.
Right.
So it's GPS data from cell phones that they tracked from these individuals that went back to the ballot boxes hundreds of times.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's my curiosity here. So what did they, in order to do that, they would have to go through the rolls if they were going to cheat and figure out who hadn't voted or vote for somebody who, even if they did vote. I mean, it's like what you said when you went to the one ballot thing, what was it, 2 years ago or whatever?
They switched my polling location.
They switched
where I do my voting.
Uh-huh.
They just decided to change from Cottonwood Community Center out to the high school.
And then I had other people tell me that when they went to vote down at the office there, that somebody said they had already voted. How does that happen?
That's a real challenge, and it does happen. They'll see in their database, oh, you've already voted your vote-by-mail ballot. No, I didn't. I've not got a vote-by-mail ballot. Oh, yeah, it says right here. Well, wait a minute. No, so they'll give them what they call provisional ballot.
Explain that, because they don't count that unless there's a discrepancy at the end?
No, they count it.
The provisional ballot will not be counted until they get this resolution on what happened with the vote-by-mail ballot. So they'll go back and verify how did that happen, if there's a signature on file for that ballot. A lot of times they find out that, hey, that did not happen. The vote-by-mail ballot was not yours. It was counted in error by somebody else. And then they turn around and they process the provisional ballot.
So it seems to me that cheating would be really difficult at this level.
Not really, because anybody can get the voter rolls and see who's on it.
Typically what that happens is you're out in the precinct polls, and case in point, Bella Vista. There's a precinct poll out there that does not have AT&T phone service. There's no phone line in the room that it's in, no hardwire. But Verizon seems to work, but the inspector that has the hotline number is supposed to be calling the hotline to verify that you have or have not voted. His phone doesn't work. and he's been there for a number of elections, has been in that same room. And it's like, wow, so now they're trying to bring evil.
We're living the age of freaking cell phones. Nobody can hook up a line.
Well, my cell phone worked perfectly. I had Verizon in there, and I could call with no problem, but AT&T is not serving that area. It was a very strange city.
That's interesting.
So either you need to get them a landline or get them a cell phone to use that works, because that's part of the responsibility.
So he doesn't have his own cell phone?
He has his own cell phone, but it's an AT&T instead of Verizon. There's no AT&T service in the area.
Well, and one of my other concerns, back in 2018, the DMV, for whatever reason, got in charge of automatically enrolling people to vote every time they renewed their driver's license. And at that time, there was a bunch of illegal aliens. And people that were
legal in California have to vote.
Well, and this here is the problem. You end up seeing that, I mean, if it's legal based upon that, that disenfranchises these other states. It really does.
It's legal for illegal aliens to vote in local elections, not federal and state elections, I believe, at this point.
That is correct.
However,
but how do you know?
What we saw in 2018 is that there was information that showed that.
They might have. I'm just saying, legally, they can vote in a local election in several of these places. I'm not sure if it's across the board. And we do have a couple callers, so
yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, election integrity, we found that a lot of these illegal aliens, or undocumented aliens, let's call it what it is, illegal, they're registering to vote, because when they go to DMV, it's a default that you get registered to vote unless you tell them no. You check the box no, you don't get registered. Otherwise, you do. So then when it comes to where were you born, a lot of time it's blank, or it may be Mexico or wherever. And so what they're finding is over time, their place of birth becomes USA. And when they're USA, that means they're a USA resident citizen, right? It must be.
Yeah, but how would you tell? How would you tell? So what you're doing is you're generating a huge number of ballots across the board in the state level. That are they verifying each ballot as being a U.S. citizen?
No,
probably
no,
not.
No. And that's what part of the Election Integrity Project California lawsuit is about. It's headed to the 9th District. It's talking about voter motor bill. And the DMV deciding who's registered and who doesn't get registered. I've got a problem right now with one of the local citizens here in Shasta County. She presented her registration, and her registration has been changed. And now she's no longer a Republican Party candidate. We've got a Republican primary coming up. She can't vote in the Republican primary until she re-registers, because they've changed her to a CSP, which is Communist Socialist Party.
Wow.
And it just happened all at once. And they sent her a voter registration card to her house, and she saw that, and she just had a fit.
I didn't know that was even on there for a choice. But anyway, we do have a caller. We're going to Rich. Hey, Rich, what you got?
Hey, I'm double dipping, but I got something nobody else has. I did record jacks for a moldy special recall election, many record jacks. I'm getting that stuff in now. I just emailed to all of you in that studio, and I have these documents. The registrar's office, county council's office, I asked for, during the window of the recall election for Moldy, I asked for a list of people that have access to the registrar's building and the key cards, keys, any access, and they denied me, citing election integrity, employee safety. It was such Barbara Streisand, I couldn't believe it. So you have the document. They did not want us to know who was coming and going from that building during Modi's recall. And I'll go ahead and get off.
Thanks
for the call, Rich. We appreciate that. That's going to make you feel very uncomfortable with everything that's going on down there. You know, why would they deny that? Just like the tape around the door. What was the big deal about that they didn't want
I think part of that could just be a little bit of a pissing contest, too.
Yes, it seemed like it.
That's what those guys do. It's like the fact that they're in charge, they don't have to do what somebody else asked them to do. They're in charge. And that is a lot of times what happens in civil service.
That's true.
And I'm not – so – but it could be other things as well. I'm not saying – but I also know I've dealt with a lot of civil service guys that are in charge, and you suggest – it's not a good idea unless they think of it.
All right, it doesn't say it in the book. If it doesn't say it in the book, then it
Right.
It's no good.
Well, and this is the thing. What
CYA.
Time and time again is that they do not want you getting information. They do not want you having it. They do not want you sharing it. They do not want to share any information with you. They just want to keep you completely in the dark.
Well, because they have everything at risk that has it come back to haunt them, whether it gets published or whatever. And, you know, so they look at it as CYA covering their job so that, you know, nothing comes back to haunt them down the road to, you know, whether it's a performance review or whatever. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's the nature of civil service.
Well, and a lot of it could very well be bigger than that. What would have happened had that seal on that door not been there? I mean, really? And that, why would they fight it so much? You have to ask these questions. And actually, we have another guest. We have Jason Shepherd, who's on the line as well. And this last week, one of the things that we ended up seeing is DuckDuckGo went through and said, oh, we're going to start censoring. And I have been actually saying for a while that we need to stop using DuckDuckGo. Brave browser and their own browser.
I've been using Brave now for months, and it's
crazy.
There's
also one, Quaint, I think it's called.
Quaint doesn't really give too many great results, and then there's also
I've been really happy with Brave. Just so
Brave is good.
Brave
Yandex is good too, but it's a Russian one, so you got to kind of be careful on that. It does give you propaganda, but it does give you information as well. You just got to feed through it.
I think the thing that Brave does the most that I'm understanding is that it doesn't sell your information at all.
Correct.
And so nobody's tracking you on what sites you're going to.
So good morning, Jason.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Doing awesome. So you had some things that you wanted to bring to our attention about January 6th, as well as quite a few different applications that you're putting together on these topics of free speech and on these platforms that we can actually get and share information out. So where would you like to begin?
Well, I guess since you started at 1-6, we announced back in the anniversary of January 6th on Windy Bell Radio that we were not only subpoenaed by the Select Committee on J6, of course, but they actually committed what we believe is extreme overreach, asking for information on every single user of our platform. They want down to credit card information, which we certainly never have, phone numbers, text messages, which, again, we don't have because we don't even there's no place to input a phone number on our platform, email addresses, private messages, anything that we actually deem as misinformation on our platform, that's what they ask for. So basically a blanket letter saying preserve all your records and we're coming to look at them. So that was fun.
Yeah. What else ended up happening from that? What did you do on your side of it?
Well, we don't have anything that they ask for because we don't keep it. We don't even verify your email address when you sign up. So we just had to tell them, hey, we really cannot cooperate with you. We're not being, you know, standoffish here, but we just don't have what you are asking for.
I have a question.
We can't complete your investigation for you.
I have a question for you, Jason. What do you know about this Matthew Rosenberg report that's basically saying there were a ton of FBI informants amongst the people on the Capitol incident?
Well, first and foremost, I'm ignorant to the report because I don't know it, but I've seen lots of information shared on Wimkin about that, obviously, in terms of video coverage.
I want to bring it up, even if you don't know about it, just the fact that Project Veritas has done a operation on this with Matthew Rosenberg, who's a journalist for the New York Times, and I guess there's a bunch of stuff in there that people might want to go look at with regards to this January 6th thing, because, you know, he was the guy that was reporting on it, and he's saying the whole thing's a big scam. So, anyway, I just want to get that out there so people can go to Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, if nothing else.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've all seen the videos where, or images at least, where, you know, Capitol Police officers taking selfies with alleged insurrectioners, insurrectionists, and we've seen videos of police officers moving barricades. So, in my opinion, the entire thing was a setup. 100%.
Absolutely.
But
and
it was,
and this, what's interesting is the same day that's when they were going to verify and certify the election.
Well, it was at the same time.
Yeah. The exact same. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and we still can't find that bomber, despite the fact that it's a surveillance state. But on January 5th, well, there was a bomber that basically ended up going in, planting all these bombs, didn't leave any evidence, didn't leave any DNA, didn't show up on any cameras except for one blurry one.
I think there's some new stuff out on that. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but I think there's something new.
Now, since we have you on here, here's one of the things that I wanted to tell folks, and we have been talking about this off and on, about places that you can go to actually not be censored, because what we've seen is from Facebook, especially during the 2020 election, is we get these groups, we get these rallies going, we get 50, 60,000 people on a group, and then Facebook bans it right before the election and basically cuts off all lines of communication and effectively kills any organization that you had going on this. This is why we need to move to these platforms. And now, we had Truth Social that is still in a beta phase that has been coming out, and I am not a proponent for Trump's Truth Social, because you have people like Steve Dace who are already being moderated. You have people that are being banned off of it already, and it seems that their terms and conditions are worse than Twitter for a quote-unquote free speech platform. Tell us what the difference is for Wimkin, and also tell us about some of the other things. Friendster, Winkton, you're going to have to help me out here.
I know, it's a tough one. I refer to the conservative jobs platform you're talking about, where we actually give free job posts for companies that do not require vaccination. We refer to that as jobsontheright.com now.
Okay.
It's easier to get off the tongue.
That's easier.
Yes, it definitely is. That M and that K just don't roll off the tongue. So, you know, we wanted to keep the brand, but it's a little bit difficult when you have that domain name. But in all seriousness, regarding Truth, I mean, a lot of people were holding out for that, and they thought it was going to be an incredible platform. And you know me personally. I am certainly a Trump supporter. I'm a conservative Republican. I believe mainstream media is the enemy of all of us, and I certainly believe that big tech and all censorship is just a negative thing. Mm-hmm. So I am rooting for Truth Social, even as technically a competitor of his. But Truth Social was developed on Mastodon technologies. It's a code that has been around for, I think, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it's limited. So all you can do is have a less functional version and less featured version of Twitter. So individuals that are waiting for this awesome new Facebook platform where you actually can live stream and do all these things from, you know, video chat, that's just not going to be there, and it's never going to be there.
Hey, you know what I've figured out, Jason, is that everything has to be started local. You know, that's what we're doing in Shasta County. We can't depend on Trump. We can't depend on Congress. There's a lot of things that we can do by turning over the Congress and the House and the midterms and so forth. But we've got to concentrate on getting supervisors at the board level here that will do what the people ask them to do and follow the Constitution and the rule of law. And same for the school, the school board. So I think that's where, you know, we can't depend on anybody to bail us out at this point. We got to start bailing ourselves out at the local level.
I totally agree with you. And speaking of local level, I am aghast that Republicans gave or, you know, just literally took Devin Nunes out of Congress to run the TMTG group and True Social.
Right.
That killed me. That's a seat that's incredibly important. And it makes no sense, and the wait list makes no sense. The fact they don't have an Android app first makes no sense, because I think David knows a little bit about coding.
Mm-hmm.
Apple is way more hard, or way harder to actually get an app complete and approved. Android would have been a cakewalk with a code that's been around for 15 years. So in my humble opinion, there's something seriously wrong on the level of True Social, especially when Trump joins it February 10th, and we get 15 emails a day from him on his private email. But he doesn't. He only posts one truth on his own platform in that time frame.
Wow. Yeah. That's definitely something we should be concerned about. And I have some issues here with all of this stuff. I do have a letter here that I want to bring up before we go on about the February 6th thing. This was on March 9th. This is a letter to Christopher Wray from Jim Jordan. And basically, basically what we're finding out is there's a whistleblower who's stepping forward to reveal secrets on the DC pipe bomber. And so he's written a letter to Christopher Wray. Basically, we have received a whistleblower disclosure from a senior FBI special agent concerning the investigation into the pipe bombs placed near the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee on January 5th. According to the special agent, on February 7th, over a year after the placement of the bombs, the FBI Washington field office asked FBI field officers to canvass all confidential human sources nationwide for information about the individual and the crime. In part, the message asked that the canvas include sources and so forth. So if you want to read that, you can go to Gateway Pundit and read the rest of it. But it looks like things are coming to the light because people inside the agency are stepping up as well. I don't necessarily hope anything here as much as I'm just reporting it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all know what Christopher Wray probably shouldn't still have a job. So, and
you think?
I was not the president of the United States, but he certainly would not have been on my payroll at that point in time.
No, I would have fired. I'll tell you what, they let me in there. I'm firing everybody in sight, just about.
Sure.
Jason, you also have some new apps that I know I have been asking for a while. How much of that do you want to talk about? How much do you want to go into?
Well, I can certainly tell about it. So. Everybody, the newest, most popular app in the world, I believe, especially in the United States, is TikTok. And it's obviously Chinese.
You mean the data mining operation that takes pretty much all the information on your phone?
Yes, literally overtakes your phone. It's in my opinion, kind of destroying America's youth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's setting families against each other. You know, you see feeds where, you know, split families are fighting because one person doesn't want them to have a TikTok and the other parent is okay with it. It's literally kind of a psychosis and a disease, if you will. So we developed WimTok. It's WIMTOK, and it's a 100% American-based version of TikTok. It's not just a little bit more involved. You can share videos. You can sponsor videos. You can, you know, have followers. Just build a platform that way, and it's also going to be kids safe and geared towards conservatives.
Awesome. I mean, literally, that's been one of the big things that I've been asking for.
I'm sorry. It'll probably be, depending on, you know, our reputation, or at least our relationship with the app stores, we're not very much liked. So it's pending. That's all I can say. But the app is complete, and it has been submitted.
Nice. And despite the app stores, are you going to have it on a website that people can download it and install it from there as well?
Yes. Well, at least for Android users, yes. We can have an APK where they can download that privately, but you really can't sideload anything on an iPhone or an iOS platform.
Correct.
Maybe we can...
So you have to go through Google, am I understanding that, in order to download any of it?
The app stores, well, the way that they work is everything that you get, unless you install unofficial sources on an Android, for instance, it all has to go through either the Google App Store, or there's another one called Aptoid that has some kind of sketchy stuff on it, or you can end up downloading it directly from a website. And so, like, for instance, there's been a bunch of places, like Mines ran into this as well, to where they got removed off the App Store because they had sensitive content that Google didn't like. And so this is a fight that we're all having to deal with because of these ecosystems. And I'm sure, knowing Jason, he's probably making his own phone service.
You know, that to me, it kind of defeats your purpose if you have to go through Google in order.
Well, a lot of them are starting to migrate out of that because you can't, because Google will shut you off and then you're done, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the problem. They did shut us down for 7 months, and it took us to really threaten massive legal action and have over 100,000 images basically in real time from our users, plus them contacting Apple developer and Google developer stating, we're going to drop our phone. We're just going to seriously just... It's not a big market hit for them, but at the point in time, they're just like, why are we doing this to this company over? We got banned for a total of 9 posts in between both app stores. And instead of bowing down and stating to them, oh, yeah, we'll change our content moderation policies, we fought and we won after 7 months.
Wow.
And we couldn't have done that without our users. But as far as what you were getting at there, what David said, Android you can load an app on from a side source.
Mm-hmm.
But you will get a warning stating this could harm your phone. So that's going to deter a lot of people.
Okay.
It's, in my mind, absolutely okay to be in the app stores because you just don't have the reach. I mean, there's legitimately two platforms for phones, Android and iOS. So to use this app. I do not mind having it in the app stores just to let people know it's a trusted source. At least we're a trusted source.
Well, eventually it might be different as people start to wake up and know which sources are legitimate that they can go straight to and get their information or their app. So, listen, we probably need to get back to Bob here. We've got him in here, and we've got another 20 minutes. So maybe we can wrap it up, Jason. Have you got anything else you want to get out?
I was going to say, is there something you want to get out to the people more than what you've already talked about, or how to get a hold of you, how to find you?
I mean, in all seriousness, if you guys want to sign up for Wimkin, you can just type that into the App Store, W-I-M as in Mary, K-I-N as in Nancy, or you can go to Wimkin.com. And one more thing, we also have a new conservative free speech version of YouTube coming out called WimVid. That's W-I-M-V-I-D. It doesn't have the K there, Dave, so you can actually say this one.
Say that one more time.
It's going to be WimVid, W-I-M. VID, and that'll be a free speech YouTube to where people can upload hours long video, and they'll never have to worry about them being shut down.
Awesome.
Okay, well, that's great because I'm already downloaded with Wimkin, and I'm down with getting to any of these platforms other than what's going on with a lot of them. I mean, that's why people are migrating to Rumble and any place else. We were hoping that Truth Social would be a good thing. At the same time, I think I predict that Facebook's going to be out of business within a year or two anyway.
I don't know about that just because how many people are on it, but I'm rooting for Truth Social 100%. We just had Paul Manafort sign up today, which you guys probably know who he is on Lincoln, and you know he's impressed. A lot of Trump allies are not happy with what's happened here, and I think it was just legitimately the boastfulness of, hey, we have this new platform that's going to take over. Truth. Nothing else but truth, free, 100% free speech. People are already being censored. People can't even get on the platform. So,
well, maybe we
really
can
hope they.
I was just going to say, maybe we can get everybody to get on Wimkin at some point.
That would be fantastic. We'll take them.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Jason.
Yeah, thank you for calling in
and
giving
us information. Thank you so much for the
interview.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Take care.
You bet.
All right.
And we'll push it out even more about Wimkin and stuff. I do believe we have to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll pick the conversation back up with Bob. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I've been thinking about all the times you told me you're so full of doubt, you just can't let it be. But I know if you keep on coming back for more, and I keep on trying, keep on trying. And I've been drinking now just a little too much, and I don't know how I can get in touch with you. Now there's only one thing for me to do, is to keep on trying to get home to you. And I feel so satisfied when...
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
what is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're back, and we're with Bob Holsinger again. And we're talking about election integrity and him running for the seat of county clerk.
Good morning again.
We're back. Did you have a question for him?
Well, I know that it was a short notice and everything, but I know that the election's coming in June, so you need all the help you can get. All the candidates that are running need it because we're on a time crunch here. So what can people do or how can they help you? What do you need?
I'm a new candidate, obviously. I have a checking account. Woohoo! And I'm working on getting my webpage up and running. And right now, getting certain things, signs are in the process. They should be here this week, and up, you'll start seeing campaign signs around the county. One of the things I want to get is that webpage, and then also we have a post office box for donations. That will be coming out tomorrow.
So we can get that on the podcast for Sovereign Minds tomorrow, and we'll have that up the information up for everybody. So look forward for that coming out on mountaintopmedia.com this next week so that we can, you know, get all the information out to everybody that we need or that wants it and needs it to help you in your campaign so that we can get you elected.
I surely appreciate that for everyone. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
So, I know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One of the things, too, that struck me awfully wrong about Miss Darling when she was in here is we could not get a clear answer on whether or not she would support voter ID.
She kind of laid that out firsthand on the Board of Supervisors meeting on a video. It's recorded. It's there where she said that she sees no need for voter ID.
Well, I don't understand that whole thing. I really don't. I mean, it's the moderate Republican thing. It's kind of like the moldy. I'm a moderate Republican, but I'm supported by Marxists. I don't know why people can't commit to, if they are a conservative, why would you not commit to in voter integrity, and that would be just one step in the right direction?
Well, there, I think what was referencing in my mind when she said that was voter ID with a picture ID issued by a governmental entity, right? That's what comes to my mind. Now, I know that right now there's a discussion in the state legislature about you don't need voter ID to vote in California in general.
Now, I'll ask you the same question. Where is your support on that? Do you support voter ID?
I got two thumbs, and they're both pointing straight down. I'm a strong advocate for governmental-issued pictures on your ID, a.k.a. driver's license, WIC cards, whatever it is, that's a governmental issued ID before you vote. I want to know who you are. They've taken the signature verifications. It used to have five different parts of your signature had to match your voter registration card. Now it's been legislated down to one.
I don't know why we just don't do thumbprints. I mean, they do thumbprints in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why you couldn't just have the ballot, they mark it, and then they have, and then they put their thumbprint on the ballot. Nobody has to know what it is, but if there's an investigation, now you can go directly to the source.
You have to do it to cash checks a lot of times now. You have to do a thumbprint.
Yeah.
Well, this is my point in case on all of this. Why is it that we can have trillions of different options as far as our California and our nationwide lottery with our Powerball, and that evening we know the results and who ended up winning, and we have video evidence if you are even look like you're under 30, you got to show ID,
mm-hmm.
and that's all for lottery. Why do we have that level of sophistication for lottery, but something far more important, voting in who is actually going to be our elected legislators, why don't we have that? Why is it months and months? Why can't we get on a blockchain? I've got a phone right here. Everybody's right. got their Obama phones or whatever phones they've got.
I don't have Obama.
You have your Obama phone.
I don't have Obama.
I bought mine.
Well, what I mean is, overall,
everybody has a phone.
I get it. I'm just
kidding. Even the homeless guy's got a phone now. Why are we not on blockchain? Why, with this whole Hunter Biden stuff, can't I just go online, log in with my Social Security, log in, take a picture of my photo ID, and be able to vote my choice, and on blockchain, if I have information that comes out, be it on any candidate, I should be able to change my vote after it's done, and that creates a ledger that is there. Why are we not doing that?
Because it makes sense.
Well, let me,
it's logical.
Do you want me to, let me answer this, because this is really simple. It's really super simple. The Democrats push these ideas of race, you know, disincentivizing voters, disenfranchising voters for only one reason. It's easier to cheat. It's that simple. There's nothing else. And, of course, they come up with all these flowery things that say, oh, the black people, you know, they'd have to go down and get IDs. Well, wait a minute. They already have IDs.
Yep.
It's all complete baloney.
Well, it's racist. How racist can you be to suggest that a minority is not able to do something that everybody knows? And you look at the videos. Where's the DMV?
The minorities aren't even the issue as much as what they're doing is it's white, liberal, leftist, Marxist pushing the issue so that it doesn't get changed at the voting place, at the voting poll, or in the law. This is a total canard. It's the same thing that they do about everything. It's Saul Alinsky techniques. They do it every single day. Watch any clip from any news outlet, and they are gaslighting everything on every issue for everybody. That's all this is.
Well, just so you know, in the chat room, they say thumbprints are racist.
Really?
Just let you know that you're racist if you do the thumbprint.
Thumbprints are racist.
Wow.
I mean, honestly, with the thumbprint thing, what are you going to do with differently abled people? Come on, the people that don't have arms.
Okay, so back to
Why is it such a stretch for people to vote legally?
I don't see the problem. It makes so simple. It's so simple, and we all have IDs. I'm taking a trip this summer. I got to have an ID to board an aircraft.
You got to have a real ID to board an aircraft.
A real ID to get on an aircraft.
Not a fake one.
That's correct. And also, if you go to the liquor store and you look like you're underage, you got to have an ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. If you're less than 30 years old, they always want to look at your ID.
Yep.
And it's very simple. You see it all through society. But, oh, no, one of the most critical rights that we have is our right to free vote, to vote in elections for our leadership.
Citizens have that right.
That's a good mark. Citizens have that right. But what's wrong with showing a picture photo ID issued by the government?
Because then Daffy Duck can't vote.
Well, no, only white supremacists will be able to. See, it's the same thing. Anytime they disagree with you on an issue, they do the name calling, they play the race card, it's all about racism. It's not about what's legal and following the law. It's not
about what's right.
Well, the rule of law. If you have a rule that says only citizens can vote, then we all need to stick to it, because otherwise what you have is the rule of men. And that's what we got right now. That's why things are so screwed up, is because who follows the law anymore? You just do what you want. want. You throw out your talking points. You know, you say if anybody disagrees with you is a racist or a white supremacist or whatever, so that what you do is you circumvent the actual law the way it's written. And then who's ever in power is trying to stay in power and circumvent anything that puts them at risk of being there.
So let's pass another law that allows what I just did with circumventing the law to be now legal.
Right.
And so that's what they do, is they pile on 3 decades of this election code law, and it's ridiculous. You know, when we talk about ballots, when they separate them from the envelope, the election code right now says that there shall be a receipt attached to the top of the ballot, and it shall be torn off by the poll worker and handed to you, the voter. It's still in code today. But no,
wow.
we got a piece of paper that says official ballot receipt on it, and it's got your I voted sticker on the bottom of it. That's it says right there. It's ridiculous like that when the code tells you something else.
That's what type of crap they do at the supermarket. Oh, come here, little kid. You want a sticker?
Exactly.
But this is what we see, folks. This is not a right or left issue. If you're on the left and you think we don't need these things and your vote doesn't matter anyway, it's how we end up with these candidates that absolutely are god-awful and suck because they know they're going to give you and present you options that are their options and your only options. Trump was never supposed to get into office. He was a joke to them. Yeah. Right. That's all he was. He was basically a sideline that they thought, oh, he's going to be easy to kill off and get out. He doesn't know anything about politics. And you know what? His message resonated with the people, and he ended up getting elected. But this is what we see.
Well, that's because his message was, keep America great. I'm here for the American people. I'm not here for the globalists, and I'm not here to have a new world order, and I'm not here to spread the wealth out and redistribute everything into a communist society so that we're all treated equal. See, that's the whole purpose of this game, and with the reset, with the voting, with the rule of law, all of it. But we have a caller.
We do. We have Dolores. What do you have, Dolores?
Yes. Good morning, Bob. I had a question. What are we gonna do for you to have a fair election? Because as we know, Kathy Darling works for the election department. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering, have we looked into how we can able to file something for her to be removed until the election takes place? Because she works in,
She's in charge of the election office. Imagine that. So she should not be able to oversee the election that she's running.
Right.
It doesn't make
right.
sense.
If she doesn't, who would be in place to do that?
So that's, she's got an assistant.
Yeah.
But she hired
that
the
would
assistant.
Be, yeah. Joanna?
That's Joanna.
She got
assistant.
Fired?
No.
She hired her.
Oh, hired.
She hired.
I thought you said fired. I was
No. Hired. She hired her. And she's very knowledgeable. I'll give her a lot of credit for that. But, it's a challenge, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, but there's questions I'll be asking this week. I want to find out from other knowledgeable resources what can be done.
What has happened in the past would be the first question, because this can't be the first time.
I don't think anybody's ever ran against her.
I've been told that she's been running unopposed.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, in the United States,
that's what I want to find out.
Yeah, because not everybody runs opposed for the county clerk.
Yeah, but you have to look at California, not other states, I would assume, California is out of... No, because their laws are way different.
No, but I'm saying any county clerk in any county in the state, and you might even look to the rest of the states for some kind of a model if there is none, something.
Well, I'm going to go to a contact that I have that has attorney on staff for election codes and have them respond to us. I want to find out what we can do. It seems she'd have to recuse herself.
Because I think it will be a little bit of a conflict there for her to oversee the election that she's running also.
Counting your own ballots doesn't sound quite right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier today, but it's a bit of concern.
One
for,
me,
days.
None for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
Two for me. Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, Dolores.
Thank you, Dolores.
Right,
Dolores.
And we'll let you know when we find out the answers to that. So we're going to run out of time here, Bob. I know you don't have the mailing address as we're speaking, but I do know you need help with signs and different
web
things.
Web pages and stuff like that.
So
money. Always money.
Always.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, these things don't come cheap. So how can they get a hold of you until you have all that up and running?
Right now, if you needed to reach me, then it's Bob Holsinger, H-O-L-S as in Sam, I-N-G as in girl, E-R, and the number's 530-680-0862. And it's a cell.
One more time.
530-680-0862.
And thanks for coming in, and we're going to have you back and
everything.
Thank
you very much, and we'll be on the podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mountaintop Media. Thanks, Bob. So I guess we're at the end of the line here. We've got a couple, 3 minutes. Anybody want to add something to the discussion before we have to go?
This last week I saw something that absolutely disturbed and chilled me, and I did want to throw it out there because people need to be aware of what some of these places are doing. So the first story on it is a whopping 85% of Maryland students are not proficient in math after COVID school closures. But there's a more chilling story right out of Maryland themselves again. This came out on March 8th. Maryland bill would allow killing babies in infanticide up to 28 days after birth. You heard that right, after birth.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm not sure that'll make it through the legislature, but the fact that they're even proposing it shows these guys
exactly
are
who's
how wicked do you have to be, and whoever that person is, get them out now, yesterday, like a week ago, before they even wrote the dang thing.
Well,
yeah.
Got anything else?
I don't know. That just gets me. It's just so sick. Don't forget, Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. If you can't attend, at least get online and watch it and be plugged in on that.
All right. So
I do have a crazy one here.
Better hurry up because I'm getting ready to sign out.
The Pentagon is planning to classify all of the UAP task force and UFO data again. We're unclassifying it now. We're reclassifying it.
Because they make so much sense. Listen, tune in to mountaintopmedia.com tomorrow. We'll have Bob on there and as a follow-up to today's discussion. And how much time we got left?
Less than a minute.
We're done.
We're done.
Yeah.
Listen to Crypto Tokens Radio Show at 2 p.m.
All right.
We're going to be going over a lot of stuff.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It's force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. We'll see you next week.
All right. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
All gun control is racist.
I am just a simple man working with my hands.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.